And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 228. I'm Silas Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And welcome to Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Today is a fun food-filled episode. Well, near the end, we start talking a lot about food. But yeah. a great discussion after a problematic start of the trying to get this podcast started, had some computer malfunctions going, so then we had just to jump into this, and but it added some energy and excitement to this this very special episode.
It did, and then you know it also inspired some time talk, you know.
Time talk. Time and dimensional. Mm-hmm. Rifting.
A few tears that came up.
Yeah.
From my face, but we did talk about emotions and things as well, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Just so everyone knows, we recorded this on my birthday because I don't stop even for my birthday. Okay. Because to be honest, Samantha gave me the option. She said, like, hey, do you want to take today off because it's your birthday? And honestly, there's nothing I would like to do more on my birthday than spend time podcasting with you. So I was like, no.
I was hoping you're going to say, no, we're going to podcast. But I was like, well, you know, it's your day. You pick.
Yeah, I would have said something, but no, I got it.
You guys, tell Silas happy birthday in those comments. Share and subscribe. And yes, I'm going to always say that because I want to hear your comments and I want to be able to comment back. Happy birthday, Silas.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's tough turning 39, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what that's like. I will have to wait several years before finding that out.
Me too. I was just saying that for the future.
Right.
Anyway. It's a good episode. Have fun. Enjoy it. Right now, I would like you to just please open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 228.
You sound good for how I can hear you.
Are you acknowledged? Have we done the land acknowledgement?
I don't know. A what?
Do you not know what a land acknowledgement is?
A land acknowledgement?
Yeah.
To acknowledge the land is not ours?
Yes.
Is
that, I have mixed feelings about it because it feels so... Every time I hear it, I think, oh, are they going to give it back?
I don't know that I've heard one. I just was like, oh yeah, that's got to be what it is.
Every Sounders game, every like training, especially DEI trainings, they do that. Like, we just want to start by acknowledging that this is actually the land of so-and-so. And I was like, you're not going to give it back. So why?
Yeah.
You're just reminding us that it's stolen. Mm-hmm. I want to remind you the shirts that you're wearing are only there because Eli Whitney was such a good inventor. Okay.
Can we
set this down? You know, I feel like it's the part that I understand when people get annoyed at what they would call like being woke is this when it feels false, like it just doesn't feel like you're really.
I feel like the people that are really mad about the woke, like they just don't even want to hear it or think about it.
Well, they don't know what woke even means, right? But like, I don't know. I feel like if there was actual weight behind the acknowledgement, right. Like, oh, we do this so many times, or if they are like, yeah, we're legally working to give Seattle back to these people,
right.
Then I'd be you're actually trying it, but you're just really saying it to say it.
It's can be very frustrating. And I feel that, you know, a blanket statement, I know you're not doing the blanket statement. You have a specific part of it that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I feel that in, you know, the blanket statement over how it is when anybody says that, it's hard because, there are the people who they really do mean it genuinely, like, oh, we're going to acknowledge this, but there's nothing in their power to change it. Then there's the people who it's just like playing lip service. And that's
the word.
The lip service, right? And then it's kind of like the apology without changed behavior is just manipulation.
Yeah.
You know, so how much of it is the people that are just like BS? How much of it is the people they're doing it because it's their job and they have to read it? And how many people, like, they genuinely mean it, they can't do anything about it? And how many people just don't give a crap?
Yeah.
You know, there's all of these things mixed in.
I realize it's more complicated than my complaint is about it. I always have issues. I'm always complaining about something, right?
Well, there's always something to complain about.
That's right. Let's justify my actions.
Well, I mean, it's a yes and.
Yes. Both are true. Yes. I'm going to complain about that and this.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what the founders thought of.
Like, which founders?
Of improv.
Oh, the founders of improv.
Of yes and. How many things can we get Silas to complain about? Yes. And the Yankees?
Yes.
And the...
And you know, that's a game right there.
Plants that turn yellow?
That's a game right there I think a lot of people would be very successful in. You know, they have a lot of things to complain about. But when... Okay. This makes me think of people's emotional home. Like, we all have emotional homes. We all have emotions that we're more comfortable with, that we're used to. Okay. Having, yeah. Right. And that our bodies can kind of get addicted to the, what's happening, physiologically, or what kind of chemicals our brain is producing when it's tied to those emotions.
Okay. So
we don't get enough of it. It's like, we kind of, I got tired of explaining it while I was explaining it. I'm like, you get it. I don't have to keep going on. So I think that sort of improv game would be fun for people who are trying to stretch their emotional home. Like, you could do the complaint, yes, and get super far in it. And then if there's another area of your life you wanted to change up, doing that in game form can be a lot easier and fun.
Hmm. Wait, are you saying, like, I want to change my diet and I want to change something? Like, is that what you mean?
I mean, you could, yeah. I suppose then I might be, well, because I was thinking in the basis of emotions, but I absolutely think that improv could be a wonderful tool for manifestation as well. When you want to, like, athletes do it before they do their winning shots or their pole vault routine or routine there. I was thinking of gymnastics and talk about these other terms, but anyway, before they do that, they visualize and see themselves doing that. But we can do that for ourselves too. When we want to change our behavior, we can visualize it, but how about taking it to the next level and turning that into an improv game, right? We can rehearse for the lives that we want to live, that mm-hmm. we're choosing to live. We change our behaviors by rehearsing.
Ooh.
Our behaviors.
I love that phrasing. Rehearse for the life you want to live. Life you want to live. Mm. The lives.
Yeah.
The multiple lives.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Those choose your own adventure books. I mean, growing up with those, but really we are choosing our own adventures. There's a lot of things outside of our control, but our power is in what choice we make in our, whatever our given circumstances. We still have some level of choice.
Life is a choose your own adventure story.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is.
I forget. Yeah. I think I might forget that sometimes.
It's easy to forget when you feel like you have less of a smorgasbord of choices. You know, like, you might have moved from the Cheesecake Factory menu to Taco Bell or something, where there's, you know,
is there an expression of, like, something like be the narrator of your own story or something? Is there something about that?
Be the hero of your own story.
Be the hero. I've heard something about how that you should be a narrator. But, like, I was thinking, but I'm thinking, like, it's a choose your own adventure story. Sometimes, like you're not the narrator, but you are the person who gets to make you do have choices to make, not at every point in your life, right?
I think it depends if the story is being told first person or not. For then, I suppose the narrator would be the same person.
No, but hear me.
I'm always getting into these technicalities. I can't help. But
hear me out.
Yes.
There are moments in our life that are choice points, right? Once we get to that point, it's kind of out of our control. Then the story does just, the story is what it is, right?
Ooh, okay, wait, right? Can we back up here for a second? I want to make sure I'm understanding you. You're saying there are moments in our lives that are choice points. And when we get to that choice point.
Yeah, like in a choose your own adventure story, they're like, you're going to open the door to the left or the door to the right? Which one are you going to go through? And once you go through the left door, that's the choice. And you're left with whatever story unfolds there.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a choice once you went through that door. So you're not responsible. But necessarily.
That's the thing that's so like. We make all of these millions of choices every day. But it's what I agree with what you're saying. There are these big choices. But they're big because of the consequences, right? Like not every choice that turns into a big choice seems like it's a big choice in the moment. Sometimes they do.
Right. Well, it's like I am somewhat, you know, mildly obsessed with. I'm mildly obsessed with time, not time mm-hmm. travel, but like sliders, like interdimensional shows where choices the society made or you make. Oh, the sliding doors, like that movie Sliding Doors.
Oh yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
Everyone mm-hmm. has a sliding doors moment.
Mm-hmm.
In the different sliding doors moments in your life. I think there are these certain moments that will change. And if your life will go in a different direction based off of whether you made that train ride or not. Right.
Right.
And those are the points that I think of as like, they're the variable points when a new dimension is created mm-hmm. at those choice moments. That's when a whole new dimension is made. If quantum physics rules, as I understand it from other people who tell me quantum physics says this, I don't know if it really does. I'm just going off of what they say.
Yeah.
How there's multiple dimensions.
Right.
So the choice, like it may not matter that today we started the podcast 5 minutes later than normal. That might not be a point that changes anyone's life, the 5 minutes there. But unless the 5 minutes caused me to get into the car, that would have affected a bunch of other lives, like the domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was just going to stay here in my house until 6 anyway, whether I started at 5 or not is incidental. Like whether we started at the exact right time or started late, it didn't really matter in the grand cosmic unless there was a domino effect that it caused.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like I really, really should have been doing drugs, or that I've been doing drugs. Like this is like, I am talking like somebody who's like tripping. Like, man, you know,
but that's why you don't need. That's why you don't need drugs.
No,
that's the thing. Let me tell something that may be embarrassing. It's not embarrassing to me because we were theater kids, right?
Okay.
So this is like regular. But I remember years ago, I was just very enthusiastically playing air drums at my mom's home. Just air drums. Kind of almost to the level of extent of Bridget Jones' Diary, I think, when she was drunkenly singing or something.
Okay.
I was not drunk. I was very into it. And somebody walked into the room and they just looked at me very perplexed. And they were just like, I've never seen anybody doing that who wasn't completely high out of their mind. And they were very confused by me doing this completely sober in the middle of the day, just having the time of my life. So cheers to sounding like you're on drugs without being on drugs, because you're open to the vastness of the universe without needing something to expand your mind to be open to the vastness of the universe and thinking of multidimensional levels.
I mean, I think I have said nothing so eloquently as you just did, but I think I've said I don't need drugs or alcohol to have fun because I think I like to think that I'm fun without it.
Yeah. Right?
But like, I like to think that I'm fun, not that I didn't drink or ever like, or anything like I did. I wasn't a priest exactly.
Right.
Well, more in more ways than one. I did things and I didn't do things because I was a,
yeah.
But I feel bad somewhat for people who cannot have a good time without, you know, I mean, the drugs.
That is sad. And it brings up, I mean, goodness, there's so many topics within topics, which is great to chat with you. But I can't help thinking of Dr. Gabor Mate. I hope I said his name correctly.
Gabor?
Yeah, like leading trauma psychologist.
Okay.
He's worked with trauma patients and hospice end of life. Ugh, not doing a very good description to him, but he is brilliant on the topic. I believe his family, they're Holocaust survivors as well. So he has like a lot of wonderful, amazing things to say to help people heal and understand trauma. But I've always felt that if people were having addictions, it was sad. And our country, a lot of people, as we were seeing, don't have empathy, and it can be very blame the victim, blame the person who's suffering. And he kind of talks about how addiction, it comes from trauma. It comes from a place where you're not healed. I'm not saying it excuses people from going and messing up other people's lives because they're not healed, but having a kind of empathy and for an understanding of like where that need comes to self-medicate, you know, and some people it's like, they don't even stand a chance. I heard one of the most heartbreaking stories I've ever heard from somebody that I, briefly met about a year ago, and I just still can cry thinking about hearing about their life, hearing how it's like they never even stood a chance the way that they were introduced to drugs. It's sad. I'm off topic. I'm going to start crying, but yes, I agree. I feel very sad for people who have to have drugs and have to be addicted in order to feel okay.
Yeah.
I will also say that while I believe I'm fun and I can have a good time without having any substances, of which I don't even know how I would be on them. And I don't want to find out either, but I can say like one glass of wine or a beer, I'm a party. Like, you think I'm fun now? Oh my goodness. I'm a party. And I will also sometimes just weep more freely and tell people how much I love them. But like, there is something about what it can do to us. And it's interesting. It affects everybody differently too, you know?
Do you feel like you're not that open with your feelings in normal?
Oh my goodness. I'm very open with my feelings compared to the general public, especially with people I'm close to. But like, I'm like, sexier with the glass of wine. Like, I just like, it's like I relax and all of a sudden it's like I'm more relaxed.
But you say you're weepy?
Anxiety in my body.
But did you say weepy?
I said sexy.
No, but before that, you didn't feel like.
Sometimes it could, you know what it is? Huh. Thanks, Silas. I didn't realize it. I think it's because I relax so much. I relax so much that like, sometimes, you know, you relax and you cry. Like, sometimes I can eat something so delicious it'll bring a tear to my eye. I'm just a really? Kind of, oh yeah.
Oh, I'd love to eat something like that.
Man, sometimes it's like just, it's just something so delicious, or like a sip of Lambrusco or something. And it just, this is why I really was a really good waitress and would give people a really good fine dining experience, because I'm like, it is so delicious. You will love it. Like, it's about the experience. It's about that like sensory delight of being alive and enjoying what you're eating and not just like rah, 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 food is fuel only. It's like, no, it's an experience. Like,
I've had the experience where I think I've told you before, where I got angry because of how good something was.
Oh my God. Okay, wait.
Thai iced tea. Thai iced tea.
Love Thai iced tea.
Yeah. The first time I had one, I finally decided to try one.
Yeah.
And I was so angry that nobody had told me or made me try one before. I'm like, I've been in Seattle for like 20 years. How did nobody ever say, you have to try this? This is delicious. What do you mean you've never had one? It is so good. How it did it? It made me feel like I had no real friends.
Oh my gosh.
Because nobody had said, you need to have this if you want to feel happiness and feel what does love taste like?
Probably what people say the first time they get like heroin or cocaine. But, you know, that's not going to do so well.
No, not a Thai tea.
I can't make a joke about it.
And I think I've been like, not mad, but like, it's been so good that I was like, oh, I'm almost upset that I'm like, I'm never going to get that first bite experience of this again. Like, holy crap. This is so good. I know it's going to end. Like, we're only a few minutes away from this whole experience. This taste is going to be gone because I'll have ate it all. And I'll never get this first time discovering what this tastes like back. Like,
that'd be horrible for the first person you lost your virginity to. Then you would have just been like, all of a sudden you turned like a George Costanza. The experience is almost over. I can't believe it. I'm never going to have it.
It's
a comedy podcast. I can't help it, right?
I know. But if you yell too loud, it silences you.
That's probably good because who needed to hear that?
I guess nobody. Nobody will. Because Zoom silenced you.
Oh, boy. Zoom.
It knows better than to get your levels up.
I've never heard of that, though. That is so interesting.
I don't know. But I've never wept. And now I'm like, have I just not had a good enough meal?
But also, how easily do you weep in general?
Oh, I'm a big crier. Stupid, especially since I was already a big crier. And right. Since becoming a parent, it's like, anything can set me off.
Yeah.
Like portions of commercials.
Portions.
Like, I don't need a full commercial.
Yeah. Right.
I just need to start knowing where this thing's going. Yeah. Like, oh no, I'm going to be in trouble here. It's going to make me feel some kind of way.
Yeah.
And now at my elderly age as well, like I don't know if it's what's worse is having more kids and the kids getting older make me more weepy or the fact of my age is doing it. Because, you know, a lot of grandpas are emotional, especially because. Right. When they were kids, they weren't allowed to have emotions.
That's just what I was thinking.
Yeah, and so now they're letting it all out. I was always allowed to have emotions.
It's endearing. And an emotional grandpa, that's endearing. Yeah. Maybe not if he becomes angry the first time he discovers that he can have a fig coffee gelato.
First time he gets his early bird breakfast discount.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe I had breakfast so expensive before. My wife has been invited to AARP for a while, and now I'm getting them. But now it used to feel funny.
Yeah.
And now it's not funny anymore.
I've been invited to AARP for like over 10 years because I put in my birthday incorrectly on purpose.
Okay.
But I realized I would be sending the AARPs, the ARPs. ARPs.
I never put it in wrong. I think they just start sending it to people younger now.
Oh, I did it incorrectly on purpose. I was the only person in my friend group getting it. Not even my mom was getting it. It was.
Well, Gretchen started getting it before me, and she's 11 years younger. So,
well, maybe we have old privilege, you know, because we love quotes and some of these like old soul things, right? They just know.
Only if you have a, if you have an old quote book.
Oh yeah.
A book full of quotes. You're going to get, yeah, I've got a couple around here. Quotes about friendship that some girl gave you. All right. I got a, I'm old. I couldn't have imagined. I don't know if I've even seen a quote book to buy somebody now. They're probably out there. They're probably table, coffee table books, but quotes are just so much easier to, like, I remember that time that the only time you would see a quote was like a quote book or in a class. And now you can just Google a quote and it's pretty easy.
Yeah. Right? Or they're on a,
give me 20 quotes about
art or English muffins.
Yeah.
Yeah. English muffin.
And I will say that is my favorite use of, I do love that use of Chat GPT. Much like if anyone's watching the video of this, I'm using a background that I had Chat GPT use because I had them create it because I was switching my recording location quick and I didn't have a background. So I'm like, not on this computer. So I had to do it. And I like that it said instead of, it actually got black and a half correct. It used to never spell things correctly. But instead, I said I need a Zoom background and it's put up Zoop background. I don't know why. Funny. And it's not like I said it. I typed it in. So it's not like they have an excuse for not knowing. Anyway, I love ChatGPT as a source to like, I need quotes about, I want quotes about love, but they have to be funny. I need quotes about love. But they have to reference a pillow or something. Like it will get them more specific than any search I do. Mm-hmm. Like it can actually, it actually use as a good filter. And that's where I think the good use of the product is, the good use of AI is
that's interesting.
Using it as a filter, just like you would for Google.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then people get upset or whatever.
Yeah. Maybe we should look up 15 foods that'll make you cry. They're so good. 15 foods that'll make me angry. I didn't have them sooner.
This is what we should do. Mm-hmm. We need to do an episode, an upcoming episode on our favorite dishes, like our top five dishes or something.
Well, that's so hard to pick.
Hard? Would it be hard for you?
No. Yeah, I can't pick. I could pick some that I really like, you know, but I don't know if I could pick all-time favorite. I haven't even tried everything yet, you know?
Of what you know. It's not, doesn't mean but like.
It's hard to pick five favorites. I can pick some standout things, but favorites, the pressure, man.
Isn't that what you look for when you go to a new restaurant? Like, I love crab cakes. What do they got?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just hard to narrow it down to five. And then I'm like, it has to be, is that five? Is this better than this? Is that, I could do five things I really enjoy or five of my favorites, not five all time favorites.
Wait, what?
I was thinking like top five.
Yeah.
You know? But if it's just, top five makes it seem like it has to be the top five. Like if I have 100, then I have to narrow it down to the top five and I have to put it in like sequential order. But if I just have to pick five things I really enjoy, okay, I can do that.
Oh, well, I mean,
you
can't rank. You don't think you can rank?
Out of 100? Like seriously, you're going to rank.
Are there 100 meals you like? Do you think there's 100 meals?
Yeah, I think so. Well, because like, I mean, just like watermelon with like lime juice, feta cheese, a little bit of mint and some like, you know, diced up cucumbers. But
what does, I'm trying to figure out, okay, at what point does watermelon become a dish or a food? I guess like pure food could make you cry. I guess that's why there's all these books, snacks,
yeah,
and stuff. Oh, top 10 snacks or whatever. I just feel like.
Can I just do like five of my favorites? I could have just done that and you would have never known. You would have never known, but I just had to, I don't know.
But then I'm going to go, is that, oh, this is your favorite of all time? You'd be like, no, it's like, it could be number 84.
I don't have, how could you possibly have a favorite of all time? You know what? I can't have a favorite of all time except for my child. My child is my favorite of all time. But
what's the last meal? Like the last meal?
Oh gosh, well, I'm not looking to die.
But if you're on death row, you couldn't go like, oh yeah, my last
don't
meal.
Don't give him any ideas. Don't give him any
Okay. Do you, how many different meals
do you cook
during the week?
Last meal, cup from the fountain of everlasting life. That's it. And then you live forever. You don't have no last meal.
wish the genie for 1,000 wishes. One of my 3 wishes. I want 1,000 wishes. Sure. Do you have like during the week, how often do you repeat a meal? Like, or not in a week, but say a month. Do you like if you have burritos this week, tonight, if you had burritos, how long till you would have a burritos again?
It depends. I'm not really rigid about it. And, like leftovers now, I love leftovers. Yeah.
But could it be like 2 months before you ever had a burrito again?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I'll like have certain things like the last 2 nights I had like cheese plates I made, you know, with a lot of good stuff on it. And that was really delicious. Maybe I'll have it again today.
Your dinner was a cheese plate?
What?
A cheese plate was a dinner?
Yeah.
Wait, is there something on it besides cheese?
Yeah. You know, but I might switch it up a little bit too, you know, like it doesn't have to be the exact same cheese plate. I love making it's different types of cheese plate. Yeah, but you know
wait,
how you
is
have
it
your
just cheese? Bake?
Is no, it no, just... you got your baked sliced baguette, sliced strawberry, sliced grape. You have some cornichons. Yeah, I think that's how you say that. Those little tiny pickles. You got some jalapeno, garlic, stuffed olives, a little bit of peppered salami.
That's
and
that's
white cheddar and yellow cheddar. Yeah, I mean,
isn't
you've got
that
your
like
protein
a,
and calories, and it's whatever you want.
Isn't
it
an appetizer? That sounds like that's what's out before you eat.
Well, it could be an appetizer if I was going out to dinner, but I was having it. It was good, you know?
Yeah. Occurred to me to have a cheese plate as a dinner.
When I go out to a restaurant, I don't, but when I'm home, like, I love having a cheese plate for dinner. I don't do it like every week or anything, but
my kids would love that. Cheese and crackers for dinner.
Yeah. You know, you could get on some veggies and some fruit. So you got a few different food groups in it.
Okay. So the reason I was asking, because like we have, like, I'd be surprised if we didn't have burritos once a week. Right. I mean, that's, and usually we have a pasta dish, like a spaghetti once a week. There's things that are often in our rotation a lot because partly because of allergies. So it's very clear.
It's good for meal prepping. Like I try to be better about meal prepping and writing out what it's going to be for the week. And I have yet to reach that level. The closest I've come is I'll write down breakfast, snacks, lunch and dinner for the week. And I'll just write like, okay, these are like 4 or 5 things in each category and just be like, okay, what do I want today? Or what do we want today? But it's been hard to actually write.
I have a hard time planning like that. Usually it's at most, it's like, well, I know we'll probably do a Mexican night and an Italian night. So I'll get some ground beef. I don't know whether it's going to be tostadas or tacos or burritos. And I could do tacos and burritos in the same week, but I probably have to have like 4 days in between. And then I'm like, okay, we could do those again.
Okay. Well, I think now that it's like, you know, now that I'm, you know, I just have to cook for one adult right now. So I'm looking to make my life easier. And if I'm in the mood to have tacos if I make tacos or I do make Mexican, I typically will do it a few different days in a row. I will do it for a few days in a row, but that would be harder, I think, if I was cooking for two adults, because the other person probably wouldn't feel like it. But for me, I'm like, this makes my life easy for a couple days in a row. I will switch up how I do it.
Yeah.
And it'll be easier for me not to waste food as much. So that is different. That's something different that I do now that I didn't really do in the past before, is like eat the same thing a few days in a row or some variety of it.
I used to, yeah, before I was married, I've finally gotten Gretchen over to the leftover side of life.
Yeah.
She used to not. But I used to make a big thing of spaghetti, and that's like the next 3 to 4 days. I'm just eating. That's my dinner or lunch, one of the two. Like I'm having that until it's to the point like, wait, is this still good? Is this still good?
Well, I want to switch it up too, though. You know what I mean? Like I like to do it, but like have a little bit of variety in it. I probably could do 2 days where it's the exact same day. But the third day, like you were saying for burritos, I'm not going to do it as a burrito. I'll do it as a burrito bowl or as a taco or as a, you know, something else, but not the exact same.
I think burritos are that is the one spot that I will. I could eat a burrito every day. Burrito, I swear to God.
Now I want a burrito, but how do you make your burritos?
What do you mean? How do you make a burrito?
I mean, like, how do you make your burrito? Do you make a bean burrito? Is your burrito like a Chipotle burrito? Like, what all do you put in your burritos?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just refried beans. We don't, I don't got time.
Just refried beans?
I don't got time for pinto beans to make my own, right? So I do can of refried beans.
The brown refried beans, not the black.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you do refried beans and...
I'm simple. Some onions, some cheese, and a little hot sauce, and I'm good. Now, if we have some shredded lettuce, I'll throw that in there. If we got some tomatoes, I might do that. It really depends. I try not to do sour cream anymore. I've been trying to do Greek yogurt. If I can throw some in, if I have some plain, I won't put strawberry Greek yogurt in.
But
some,
that'd be gross.
Non-flavored, I might throw a little in.
Also, it defeat the point, right? Because why are you not doing sour cream? Calories?
Yeah, just like...
Yeah, because if you did like a flavored Greek yogurt, like that would probably have sugar in it and it would defeat the point.
Oh, Greek yogurt's great. No, it's just it would taste weird to have strawberry in your...
Yeah. Well, I just mean if you had like a strawberry, it wouldn't have a sugar in it. So if you're doing it for a health purpose, it would taste weird, but it'd also be like, just do the sour cream then.
Yeah, I think it's more the only thing about sour cream is it lacks the protein amount that I want. I'm not as worried about the sugar as the protein. I want protein.
Oh, I see.
So it's another way to sneak in some protein.
Right.
As if I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to build these muscles, I got to.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Get the protein in there.
Yeah. You know, ammoing them up for the gun show.
Yeah.
Right. Is that
what happened? It's do you buy the tickets to the gun show? That's more the.
Well, I know, but because you're doing the protein, it's like you're getting
that's
the ammo.
Building the ammo. I gotcha. Okay. I hear that. I hear it now. Yeah. Makes sense now.
Yeah. But, you know, actually, I probably ought to see burrito days. I wonder, I don't know if I could get the little one to eat burritos, but if I could, that would be great. Easy, lazy.
Once you can get them to eat beans, like the refried, it can be a texture thing that takes a little bit to get into. What we did, the way I got my kids into it was putting chips. They got chips, but I put them in the beans.
Oh, yeah.
I just put chips in the beans and I'd put a little cheese on them too. So the chips would be
hungry.
So they would have to eat the chips. To get the chips, they would eat a little bean until eventually they were like cool with beans.
Okay. Now I'm going to want to do, I actually think I want to do nacho night now. Cause I have beans, I have guac, I have salsa, I have cheese, and just dip it. So I'm not really a nacho, more like a dip, but.
Wait, why wouldn't you just put it on and melt it?
I don't know if I want to. I might. We'll see. We'll see. But now you've given me inspiration for food. Cheese... Thank you.
Wait, would you have cheese with it?
Yeah.
But not melted?
Well, it was just, I was thinking if I want to melt it on the chip or melt it like on top of the, like, you know, like a dip so that you get more of it.
Oh,
more of it on
queso? Like, making some homemade queso?
It'd be like layered, you know, because you'd have the beans and then you'd have the guac and then you'd have the salsa and then you'd have the cheese. And
I honestly think nachos is my biggest miss with my wife becoming lactose intolerant. Or non-dairy, I should say, because dairy allergy as opposed to
dairy allergy. So then it's like you don't even want to have it in the house then.
Well, you don't. She just can't consume it. It's where the kids have. My kids are lactose intolerant, so they can just have a pill and they're fine.
Right.
So, but I miss nachos as for a dinner. That was always fun.
I think the you could do individual ones, but that's annoying because then you can make your own little, right? You could have your own little cheese on yours. It's not. Doesn't take that long.
That kind of stuff makes me feel bad though, because she can't have cheese. So it's like, for her, it's just a bowl of chips.
She really misses it.
Well, it's just a bowl of chips.
But they have like soy or like other kind of fake cheese.
You know, a lot of alternative cheeses have coconut in it.
Oh,
so you have the texture, and she's allergic to coconut. Yeah. So that's the hard thing is a lot of alternatives are also have allergies.
And not everybody likes how the alternative tastes.
Yeah, I've heard they've gotten better. I've never tried, but.
Yeah. I think everybody's taste buds are different.
Yeah. Hopefully people listen to this during lunch.
Yeah, actually, and let us know. Let us know what your top five foods are. And if any of these you like, if you're team leftover or no way, you know, just let us know your thoughts.
I didn't even know I grew up so hardcore leftover. I had no idea there was another universe out there that didn't enforce it. I was like, I thought I was raised to eat my food until it's slimy, right? You just gotta.
Oh gosh.
Just
ooh, slimy.
If it's still there, keep eating it. It's a race.
Oh, man.
Race to beat the blue cheese from forming.
Oh boy. Can't do it. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah, I don't like wasting food, but I'm definitely camp. Like, don't eat it if it's been too many days. And if you're not full, like, don't finish what's on your plate. Like,
did you just say donate it?
No, don't.
Oh,
don't
finish, okay.
Don't finish what's on your plate. Like, if you're not hungry, just don't eat it.
Yeah.
No need to finish it.
Yeah.
Save it for later. Awesome. Can't save it for later. Okay. Don't stop yourself.
Yeah, this is a lot. I've got a lot of guilt weight from, I've got to. Gotta eat it. Gotta finish my plate. Clean that plate or I wasted food.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try not to do that now, but I'm like, that's why I got to get the kids to serve their own food more. Anyway, we gotta go. We gotta get to lunch.
Ah, well, yeah, okay. Food does sound good.
You gotta get to lunch. I mean,
I know.
It's time.
And that goes quickly.
This is a good hour.
Yeah, ish, fun.
Ish. Hour ish.
Ish.
No problems. So, everyone have a tasty black and a half.